Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. And one of the first memories I have of coming up to the Copper Country, when I was just on my interview up here, and to give me something to do to explore the area, somebody gave me tickets to the Calumet Theater, where the Calumet Players were putting on a production of The King and I. And I thought, oh, that's sweet. I'll go see some nice little community theater. This ought to be a nice way to spend an evening that I didn't have a whole lot else to do. And I went and my mind was blown. It was a wonderful production. I had seen the movie and seen both the modern film and the old musical, and were okay. Those were all right, but the live production of The King and I was fantastic, and I've been hooked on Calumet Players productions since then. So, knowing that The Secret Garden was coming up, and wanting to make sure I catch this, and also would enjoy some background information, some behind the scenes look at it, so to speak, I invited some folks from the Calumet Players to join me today. I have David Crowley, who is acting in the film. He plays Archibald. Erin Coppola is an actress. She plays the wife of the uncle. I got to learn a little bit more about this part. I don't remember this one from the film. So, Dennis Racine is also here from the Calumet Players, and also my colleague, co-worker, and friend, chorus lead Kirsten Barando, joining me here in the studio as well. Everybody, welcome to Copper Country Today.
Hi. Good morning. Thank you.
So coming up, the Secret Garden, I imagine right about now, it's pretty intense there. Someone tell me, what's the schedule like right now?
Well, it's pretty much every day, every night, actually. And kind of long hours also, but, you know, it's at the point where we got to start taking care of the little details and stopping once in a while to say, hey, maybe we got to fix this a little bit. So it's taking a little bit of time, but for those of us who love theater, that amount of time doesn't matter.
And David, for some reason, my mic on you is cutting out. So what I'm going to do is have you share their mic with Erin, because I want to be able to catch everything that you say. I got you a little bit, but I want to make sure I get everything. Now, why pick The Secret Garden?
Secret Garden. It was picked. Actually, we tried to cast Gypsy this year. And after tryouts, we didn't have basically enough men audition for the show. So we had to look at the people we had who auditioned and find a show that basically they would fit into. And The Secret Garden is a show that we've looked at before and we've talked about doing. And the directors, Mike Aubin, who's the director of the production, and Tom Maximchuk, who does the musical director, both thought that with the people who had auditioned for Gypsy, we could convert that over to The Secret Garden. So that's really how The Secret Garden got selected this year.
So what happened with Gypsy?
We just didn't get them in. The men parts, you know, the part that's needed to be cast, we just didn't get them to show up for auditions. And so we put that on the back shelf. Maybe in another year or two we'll be able to recruit enough men for it.
All right. Well, here's a kind of a pre-casting call then to men, that if you've got some talent and some acting and you want to do it, or if you got very little talent but still willing to do it, definitely come out and try. Which I guess would be kind of another question. If somebody wants to be part of the Calumet Players, is there a long audition process? Do you have to have a big resume of acting? How do you get involved?
I don't think you need a big resume at all. We have a lot of people, it's their first show, they've never done anything on stage before, and then we have some people, like Dave, who've done many, many shows. You just need to show up with a song. If you don't have a song, they'll find you something. You can sing My Country Tis of Thee or The Star-Spangled Banner. And it's a really friendly process. Everybody's really friendly, and it's pretty easy to get involved.
For a show like The Secret Garden, how many people are working on this thing at one time?
Well, between the cast, the orchestra, the back set people, costume people, all of them involved, I'd say there's close to 60 people involved in this production. Hmm.
So even if being on stage and under the spotlight's not where you want to be, there's still a lot of things you could do as part of the Calumet Players.
Oh, most definitely. Especially, backstage people and set crew, people who can build sets, who have a little talent with artistic talent or carpentry talent. So those are our big needs, really. You know, everybody wants to be on stage and in the limelight, but you can't do the show without the backstage people, and those are the... So yeah, definitely, anybody who wants to be involved in theater, whether it be on stage or off, and we're happy to take them.
Now, for the music for a show like this, is it, you know, all on CD or is it live?
No, we have a live orchestra. They've been rehearsing with us since the beginning. I'm not sure how many pieces it is, maybe 12 or 15. And so everything you see is live. 11, Dave says.
Yeah, definitely. Are they now the orchestra? Are they associated with the Calumet Players, or is that a separate group?
No, they're the Calumet Player Orchestra.
Wow.
Most of the people in the orchestra come back year after year. They played again. You know, you always get new people. Every production has a certain number of new people that come in, and we're always welcome to have them. But you know, a lot of these people in the orchestra have been with us for many years. We've been doing musicals now for, this is our 31st year of doing musicals in the fall, so, and some of those people have probably been in most of them, if not all of them.
Yeah, that's tremendous. Now, all of your shows get performed at the Calumet Theater? Is that your main venue for these?
It's our main venue, although we've done shows in other places. Normally the musicals have always been done at the Calumet Theater. In the spring we do normally a play. We've done that at Hancock High School. We've done it in Lake Linden. We've done it at the Little Gym Theater in Lake Linden. We've done a musical at the Little Gym. We did Nonsense, which is a perfect setting for that little theater in Lake Linden, because there's so much audience interaction in that play that the you know, you're right there with the audience on the floor. So that was a great venue for that show. So we've done shows up at South Range, at the lounge in Lake Linden. So, no, we do go on the road occasionally.
So Secret Garden is going to be coming up, performed, and I believe it's Thursday through Sunday, correct? Next weekend. And so tell me what the Secret Garden is about.
It's a pretty well-known story about Mary Lennox, who gets orphaned when her parents die of cholera in India, and the only living relative she has is her mother's sister's husband, really. It's her uncle who married, you know, her mother's sister. There's no other family, and so she gets sent to live with him, and unfortunately he's a very reclusive man who lost his wife 10 years earlier and has been basically pining over her. In this production, I have to say, I don't remember the ghost of Lily being in the book. I think the two women who wrote this musical kind of took that story as the base, but added this little element in to just look at it from a different standpoint. But in this particular case, he sees his wife's ghost, and it may very well be in his mind, but it's still there haunting him, and he really feels kind of conflicted by having this girl there, because he doesn't know what to do with her. He's never had a child. His son, who was born when his wife died, has been bedridden, and everybody says the kid's never going to grow up. He's going to die young because he's got a disability. Because Archie, my character, is a hunchback, and he's a little bit lame, and so they figure he's going to be crippled too. And so it's a really kind of a sad household that she comes into. And when she finds this garden that Lily, her aunt, had, she brings it back to life with a few friends, the help of some friends, and by doing so, she basically heals the son, and that healing process really brings Archie back into the world when he can have a family again. It takes him away from that memory of his wife so much. I guess that's the best way to say it.
Now, the children, which are the pretty much the leads in, when you see the, at least in the film and book version. Right. So do you have children playing those leads here?
They're two high school girls, and they're both doing a very nice job. They've gotten very nice voices, and they're doing acting really well, too. So
okay. Now, you said two high school girls?
Right.
Okay, so, but, so who plays the little boy?
A girl.
One of the other girls. Okay. Hey, if it worked for Peter, well, if it worked, you know, for Peter Pan, it works here. So
sometimes you need to do that. Mm-hmm. When we did The King and I, the Louis, the son, was played by a girl.
Okay, I don't even think I noticed that. So
we put a short wig on her, and she did a great job.
Okay. Well, good. Do you know their names offhand? Who are playing those leads?
Alexis. Oh. Who was actually the Houghton County Fair Queen.
I know her, yeah. Yes.
She's playing Mary Lennox. And Maggie Norland, who just moved into the area from Vermont this summer. Her mother's a new principal at Dollar Bay High School. So they moved here, and she had done shows out in Vermont for the last few years too, so she's got some experience in being on stage.
Oh, sounds good. For a set designer or set creation standpoint, the garden itself, what is that going to look like on stage, or is that going to be, do you want to give that away?
It's going to wow you. When it really is, when the garden comes on. The set crew did a wonderful job with it. It's the wall actually turns so that the one side is, you know, before they get into the garden, then it's in the garden before it's blooms again when it's, you know, totally been left undone for a couple of years. So it's all dead and viney, and then they go in and clean it up. But people will be surprised at the end what the garden looks like. Mm.
Now, Aaron, your part in the film is, or the film, in the musical, as David had mentioned, was sort of added into the musical part. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit about your character then?
Well, my character is a ghost throughout the whole musical. There are quite a few ghosts in the show, but I'm a ghost throughout. I'm the wife of Dave's character, Archie, and I'm the aunt of Mary Lennox, and a running theme throughout the show is how much the little girl reminds everybody of my character when she was alive, down to the gardening. She's interested in gardening. And so my character sort of is haunting Archie and haunting the little girl and haunting the Archie's brother. And I show up in their memories and in real time, and watching over them and haunting them at the same time, I think.
Mm. Was the Secret Garden a story that was important to you as a little girl?
Honestly, I don't remember. I'm sure I read it at some point in time. I don't think I've ever seen the movies. Okay. But I know I read it as a little girl, but it's not one that stands out in my memory, actually.
Right. So appearing in it, it's not like, you know, bringing back those childhood memories.
No, it's a new experience.
But for those that, you know, for both, for women young and old who mm-hmm. will see this, they probably will come to, you know, sort of face-to-face where they're seeing it, you know, it's seeing it live on stage, any kind of production is mm-hmm. entirely different than seeing something on screen anyways.
Absolutely.
You know, it touches you in a way that, you know, no movie will ever do. And you walk away, you know, hopefully somewhat changed, mm-hmm. you know, just by the experience. And I can imagine, you know, for this particular story, because it is so important to so many people. And I keep saying women, but, you know, it's a great story that, you know, both men and women can appreciate mm-hmm. and enjoy and share together. Another good thing, too, about this production and most of what you guys put out there is it's open for family. So this is something mm-hmm. where you bring your children and then the whole family has that experience together.
Yes, definitely. And I think this is a new take on The Secret Garden. There's different elements to it that aren't in the book. So I think that'll be interesting for families because they can see the familiar story. They'll recognize a lot of the elements, but then there's new things to keep them interested and engaged.
Now, preparing to perform something like this, the rehearsals, the, you know, just the constant practicing, what has to go into making it work?
Hours and hours and hours. Mm. We've been rehearsing since July, the mid to end of July, and we moved into the theater recently. So, I mean, there's so much that goes into it, from the music to the lines to how we move around the stage. And then now that we're inside the theater, the different elements, the props and the sets are coming in, and soon we'll have lights and microphones and audio and all sorts of different things. And so a lot of people put a lot of time for...
But how many hours a week do you put in?
Oh, goodness. 12, maybe, at least. Oh, now 15, 20.
15 to 20 more.
Now that we're...
This last week and a half or so will be at least... You know, we're there 4 or 5 hours every night.
And it isn't just at rehearsal time. You know, in order to learn your lines, you've got time you spend at home. There, you know, the bigger your part, the more time you're going to spend at home. I, in particular, have some harmony things in here where I've had to get together with one of our pianists on my own time and her own time just to get those notes down. And so, you know... It takes a lot of commitment, really, if you're going to do it right.
How does this show compare to others as far as being difficult to prepare for? Is this harder than some things, or is this, you know, maybe on the easier side? Aaron has got a good smirk.
The music is really, it's really complex. There's a lot of times, I'll let Aaron also say something, but the orchestra... It changes key sometimes 3-4 times in a song, and so they've got to watch for that. And we've got quite an interesting little mix of music. But
yes, for a lot of the cast, I think this has been more difficult than most of the shows the players have done. A lot of the shows that are performed up there were written in the 50s and 60s, and the music is different and the harmonies are different. This one was written, I believe, in the 90s at some point. So it's a different time, a different style, different harmonies. It's a lot more difficult.
I also want to bring in Kirsten here as well. So let me slide this over because she is performing in here. So Kirsten, talk about what you'll be doing.
I'm one of the chorus leads. The chorus is comprised primarily of ghosts, which we've kind of discussed, which is, I think, an interesting element of the show, an interesting take on The Secret Garden, because... In the movie, you certainly see how every character in the show is touched by the memory of Lily, of this Archibald's wife, how Mary's touched by the memory of her parents and the people in India. And by bringing in the ghost characters, I think that you really get to see that impact in a different way than you see in the movie or in the book. And I think that it makes it very real and interesting, and will give particularly families a lot to talk about how, in a lot of ways, those ghosts do exist in the books. They're just not physically there in the same way that they are in the musical.
Sure, like the Archibald's dead wife, who is, you know, she's there in memory throughout the whole story, mm-hmm. and you have a sense that she's there, and really her shadow is over the whole thing, and that how they're dealing with her loss, and what you do in your voice there is, well, in your character, is bring voice to that character, mm-hmm. who is there in the background. You may not see her or talked about her as a person in the book or the film, but in stage, it allows you to do those kind of things, and it does, it adds in, rather than take away from the realism of what's going on stage.
Mm-hmm. And you see things like when someone dies, someone you need to let go. In the show, you see them actually letting go and moving on, and letting, moving on with their lives and letting the ghosts get on with their life, or afterlives, I guess.
Well, you mentioned giving voice, and I got to tell you, this lady here has a beautiful voice, so it's amazing to, and actually Kirsten too. I mean, both of them, they add so much to the show. So
thank you. Yeah.
I would also say this is something that maybe both of you haven't really realized because you're so close to it, because you're these two characters, but I really think that the presence of Lily, on one hand, really demonstrates the light that she was in everybody's life, how what a bright, shining, uplifting part of everybody's life she is, and having that there is a really excellent juxtaposition to how dark and heavy her absence is to Archie. And I think that you really see that impact much more strongly because of her presence and the presence of all of the ghosts. And that's something that I've seen by watching the two of you that maybe you haven't even really realized because you're so close to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the production starts on Thursday. Tickets are still available at the Calumet Theater box office. I assume that's the best place to get them.
Yes.
Okay. And besides the ticket sales, how does this all get paid? Is this solely paid by through the ticket sales of the Calumet Theater? How a production like this got to cost money?
Production like this will cost us somewhere around $25,000 to $30,000 to put on. Yes.
Aaron, how much of that money does Aaron get?
Aaron doesn't get any of it. Aaron has to pitch in and help. So the money, hopefully, we will recoup from the show. Money we make from the shows we normally set aside to do next year's show, and hopefully, you know, we can do that. So that's how we raise the money. But we own our own building, and so we have to finance that building. So we also have an annual membership drive, which actually will be kicking off tonight. And so we'll be doing a mailing, inviting people to become members of the Calumet Players. We have different membership levels, and they are listed in each one of our programs every year for the next two productions if they become a member. It also entitles them to vote at the annual meeting, which is also coming up in October, the 28th. It gives them the ability to vote for the board. So every year we have an annual meeting and election of officers for the coming year, and that'll be coming up on October 28th at the Hut Inn in Kearsarge. So
if I get a membership, then I get like first dibs on a part for the next play.
That's right. Sure, you still have to audition though.
Well, and I want to maintain the professionalism, integrity, and level of performance of the Calumet Players by not appearing on stage. So, it's definitely a great coming up. And I'm going to let the whole Copper Country know on a secret, so everybody's just got to help me keep it. But I'm actually planning on springing these tickets on my wife to go see this. I haven't quite picked out the night, but so if you see her walking the dog, please don't tell her that your husband's going to take her to see the Secret Garden. And I think it's that kind of event where you can make a special night, taking your significant other or your kids to go see the Secret Garden at the Calumet Theater. It's that kind of special performance. I can't wait to see it. How soon do you start looking ahead to the next production?
We'll have our annual meeting in October. The board will meet in November. Usually by January, we're soliciting, directors who have proposals for shows that they would like to do. Normally, we like to have our shows selected no later than February of that year. Of course, we also do a production in the spring, so we're talking about both the spring production, which is normally a play, and then the fall musical, so that we get on it right again after the annual meeting and hopefully have everything in place by February.
When's your, for the Secret Garden, when is the proverbial dress rehearsal? When you have something like that coming up where it's got to go right one whole time through?
We'll have three dress rehearsals, okay. Actually, starting on Monday, right? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday are dress rehearsals. This Thursday is what we call our tech rehearsal. So that's more or less going to be for the technical people, the lighting, the sound, the stage crew, getting the sets out when they need to be and off when they need to be at the right times, and making sure everything is in its right place. So Thursday, although the actors and actresses will be there doing this show, what we're really going to be concentrating on is the technical. Then starting next week on Monday, it'll be costume changes, making sure that people have time to do their costume changes. Do they have to change backstage because they don't have time to get to the dressing room and back up to be, you know, for their next? So that'll start on Monday. So it'll be a hectic week from here on out.
This is probably more for David and Aaron, but even with all that preparation, do you still find times during a production that just things go a little askew for a bit?
Yes. You need to be prepared for pretty much anything that can come along and be ready to change things on the fly if you need to.
Well, you know, that's one thing I love about live theater. It's that knowing that anything can happen at any time and just feeling that you got to be on your toes no matter what. I remember when we were doing Carousel, and I had a knife that no one was supposed to see in my vest pocket, but when I went to put the shawl on, Julie, it caught on some vines that were nearby, and when I tugged it, the knife fell right onto a platform, and it was a bam! So I had to figure out a way to pick it up really quickly and try to cover it, and you know, those things just happen, and you gotta go with it. If you're quick enough on your toes, a lot of times the audience won't even realize it. So it's that's what makes it fun.
Yeah, and as an audience member, you know, you most of the time you don't notice when those things happen. You know, when somebody's missed a cue, you know, less than, you know, even you're working in radio, you don't want to draw attention to the fact that you just made a mistake, or you know, you just sang the wrong lyrics to a song or something. I mean, we don't really know. If you
do. That's the hope. If we've done our job correctly, that's what will happen.
But David, I wanted to go back to you real quick because you have a lot of experience working with our youth and drama, and you're up to some of that right now.
Right.
Talk a little bit about that.
Well, most people know I direct the plays at Houghton Middle and High School, and in fact, what we were talking about just now, one of the things I tell the kids all the time is their job is to fool the audience. Make sure if you keep going, even if you miss something. And so, we're working on Little Women for the first weekend in November. And actually, when I took this part in Secret Garden, I didn't expect to be double rehearsing up till 2 weeks before the show, because we were originally going to do this in September, you know, the usual time, but things may cause it to be delayed. So, it's a really, really good version of the play. I really always look for good dialogue and things that can give the kids good acting experience and it's you caught me off guard here because I hadn't planned to talk about this.
Well, one, you know, but you mentioned it before we came in, and you know,
right.
The Calumet players, of course, do a phenomenal job. Right. The students that do the local plays from the high schools, which you know, maybe perhaps those are eventually future Calumet Theater actors. They start with you and them and at the high school there doing tremendous job there.
Right.
Those shows are no slackers either. They're well done productions put on by high school drama groups.
Yeah, I'm a real perfectionist as a director, and luckily the kids I work with understand when I push them, that I'm pushing to really help them, even when I get a little bit edgy with them. In fact, I got one card where one of the kids wrote in it, "Thank you for pushing us to be awesome." So I know the kids like to be challenged, and there are some of my actors who've been in player shows. I've got a couple who've gone on who are studying theater in college, and so it's a really kind of a heartwarming feeling to work with these kids and see them progress, especially when I start with them, because I do both high school and middle school. I have these kids for 7 years if they start in sixth grade and continue, and to see them grow and mature and just learn as they go is really, really a great experience for me.
And when will the Little Women be performed?
Little Women will be November 6th, 7th, and 8th.
Okay, definitely we'll keep an eye out for that. Looking forward to it, as well as The Secret Garden opening up at the Calumet Theater, if I have my date correct, October 22nd on a Thursday night, and showing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and I believe a Sunday afternoon, if I'm correct on that again. See, my memory's not so bad, even as old as I get. So I encourage you, get your tickets at the Calumet Theater box office and see the show. It's going to be tremendous, I can tell. My guests this segment have been David Crowley, Aaron Coppola, Dennis Racine, and Kirsten Barondo. Thank you for coming on the program and talking about The Secret Garden.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.